hopefully you took some time to spend with the sheets I gave you on Sunday. As the Lord's been putting this into my heart quite a bit in the last several weeks about our relationship with the Holy Spirit and how the advocate and the help that he was intended to be for the body of Christ and how neglected he often is. And of course, that's by design. The enemy does everything he can to cut us off from our lifeline. And the Spirit of God, without question, is that. It literally, if the neglect that the body of Christ, and sometimes we ourselves, including myself, were to have been expressed to the Lord Jesus by the disciples when he was their paraclete, it would look an awful lot like Jesus just visited them once a month instead of living every day with them. That would be tantamount to the way that the church utilizes the aid of the Holy Spirit, who is our paraclete, literally the handoff, the direct comparison, the replacement for the Lord Jesus physically here on the earth. And it was necessary, of course, because the body of Christ was going to become global. It wasn't just going to be 12 or 120 or 270 people. They're going to be all over the planet. And even Jesus in his glory, in his physical form, couldn't be everywhere at once, right? So we needed the Holy Spirit that could be everywhere, permeating every heart and dealing with each one of us as individuals as only someone not bound by flesh could do, right? So the Holy Spirit was given to us as our paraclete. And he is a trusted advocate and friend and is the one that leads and guides us into all truth. And I don't know that we understand to what degree he does this. It is so personal. And the Holy Spirit, and phrases have been used to describe the Holy Spirit that can only partially be agreed with. But one of the phrases is that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman in that he won't force himself upon you. And that is generally true. I've had times in my life where the Holy Spirit has come down like a gavel on me. And it was anything but subtle, anything but gentle. But that is not the typical way of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is usually easily entreated and is always wooing and drawing and trying to gain our attention through our will, surrendering it voluntarily. There are times when, because we are the children of God, he has the right to come in and just slam his foot down. But most of the time, you'll find he doesn't do that. And I've had many experiences with the Holy Spirit, and it pretty much runs the gamut as far as I can imagine. And I know, at least personally in my own life, that there are very few times that he comes on very strong. There are times when he does, though. And that's not to be trifled with, because we need to remember that, like Jesus said in his earthly ministry, the Holy Spirit's different than the Father God and different than Jesus in many, very, very many and specific ways. And one of them is that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit over a protracted period of time without it costing you possibly eternally. This is not something you screw around with. The Holy Spirit is precious, and God is defensive of the Holy Spirit. I promise you. God's defensive of you. God loves you as his children, clearly. God was unwilling to allow you and I to suffer and to live in eternity apart from him. He wanted to reconcile us to his side. He adores us with all that he is, but he will not sidestep the honor of the Holy Spirit to put up with our indifference. Are you following? There comes a point that he draws on the line in the sand and says, I'm not putting up with this anymore. Because to do that would say, I respect you more than I do the Spirit that I sent you. And that is a lie. So now you can be very grateful. I know several times in my life, two or three times in my life that I can remember specifically, where I was teetering very close to a very, very dangerously hardened heart. And the Holy Spirit came in so strong that I couldn't, even with all of my hardness, ignore him. I knew it. It was so pervasively strong, and I was aware that I was tap dancing on the holy. There was no dancing around it. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I was pretty hardened in my heart. I wasn't feeling much of anything towards God. Very little, if anything. Super casual. And out of the middle of nowhere was a profound, deep, penetrating awareness that you are about to cross a line. And, you know, this is why I know that a person never commits the unpardonable sin without knowing what they're doing. And once they've done it, they don't care. Because they have the kind of heart that would spit in the face of the Holy Spirit when he did that. And you would have to have a ridiculously hard heart indeed to be that person. I've come very close to the Holy Spirit laying that line in front of me several times in my life. And I couldn't have crossed it if I wanted to. I couldn't. The inward principle of Christ didn't allow me. And I'm very grateful for it. I felt rescued. It overcame my laziness. It overcame my complacency. It overcame my arguments against wanting to be used by God, because I had arguments and anger issues about that. You didn't give me a choice, you know, kind of stuff. You know how Paul said, you know, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Well, I was on that verge of that, of the woe is me, because I didn't want to. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you. I don't want anything to do with this. No one asked me. You didn't ask me. You just created me and made me do it. I don't see free will in here. This is you telling me I have to do it. And if I don't do it, I'm damned if I don't. That's not free will. That's an ultimatum. I was pissed. And I was acting that way towards God. And I might as well not hide it. I was just being honest. But my honesty was not tempered by wisdom. And I was in that condition for a protracted period of time. There came a point where his spirit was not going to strive with me anymore. And he just said, you know what? You're going to have to make a decision. But along with that was a deep awareness of the grief I was causing God. And it broke me. I mean, even in my callous condition, it cut right through the callous and I felt it. And I would have had to have be cold and dedicated to sin indeed to cross that line. You see what I'm saying? The Spirit of God was gracious to me. But you know what? There are some lines you just don't cross. Amen? And the Spirit of God is worthy to be honored and loved and considered precious beyond all that could be said about precious. And so that's what this is about, is reawakening that, defibrillating our hearts to that awareness and honoring Him. Amen? I don't have any doubt that in the coming weeks the Lord will humble me in using several examples the Holy Spirit's used with me over the years as examples of what He does and what He will do. But in the meantime, right now, tonight, we're going to just go through this questionnaire. I'm not going to lead you through it. I want you to break into groups and to deal with it. So if you would do that, I want you to spend time with each question. If you have a question about a question, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't spend 15 minutes trying to haggle and figure out what it means. Raise your hand, let me see it, and I'll come over and I'll help you, okay? There's no sense in wasting time. Amen? So if you run across something that just you're not following, that's fine. Just ask me and I'll help you, okay? That's one of the reasons why I'm still here. But just take time with each one. Are you even going to come close to going through this list? No, you won't. I know you guys well enough, you won't. I thoughtfully went through the whole thing in 15 minutes, but you're not like that. So take your time. This isn't about getting it done tonight. What's that? Yeah. So, you know, if you only get through two or three, that's fine. It primes the pump for when you're alone, you go home and you continue with it. Are you following? But I do want you to do it together. And I'm asking you guys, please, pay attention to and work with one another in your weaknesses. You hear what I'm hearing, what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Some of you are reserved. And it would take the Holy Spirit plus a lightning bolt attached to your rear end before you would say anything. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And God's like, you know what? Your voice is important. If it comes to your mind, you need to share it. Some of you couldn't be shut up with a freight train. And you need to temper that.
Yes, sir.
And realize that, you know what? Yours is not the only opinion that needs to be heard. Sometimes God gives people the gift of gab in order to be able to draw out people who don't have it, not just so you can express your opinion for 30 minutes.
Right.
Are you following? Yes. So draw other people out. And if you're not the person that is that person, then allow yourself to be drawn out. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody sharing. Everybody contributing. Thinking through. Amen? Not everybody thinks like that. You know, so I'll read a phrase and I'll have a book in a second in my head. Most people are not like that. You need to give them 10, 15, sometimes 5 minutes of silence just to think through it. That's okay. Give them the time. Are you with me? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need that silence, not you yakking to fill it up. So go ahead and divide into groups and we'll come back together at the end. I'll be within eyesight at one point or another of everybody. So if you need me to cause you to understand what a question is talking about, I'll be there. Hopefully your discussion time was beneficial. I think it was. Sounded like it was. What number did you guys get through to?
Five.
And you guys got down to about three or four.
Yeah,
that's fine.
If we go down the list, we've probably covered some.
Yeah. There's overlap enough that you'll touch other topics you haven't even reached yet. Yes.
That's what happened with us. We skipped four and went to five first because Terry kept saying we were covering five with the other three questions. So, but we did make it to four.
That's
we did
good.
Go to back to four.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, which is fine because this doesn't necessarily have to be done in order anyway. But again, I'm encouraging you to continue with this on your own or even together with another person, and allow this to begin to draw your heart towards intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Because again, I really felt led to call it that 2 weeks ago. The message was the Holy Spirit is our forgotten friend, largely overlooked by the body of Christ, even by those who know better. He's largely overlooked, and he is the person of the Godhood who has been sent to be our paraclete, to be to us what Jesus was to the disciples. When we were discussing, I came over here because the Holy Spirit told me, again, I was downstairs, they got a question, so I came up and I sat here and I heard the question, and we addressed it and we talked about it. But one of the things, the illustration that came to mind was that what would have happened if when Jesus was here on the earth, the disciples had pretty much just directed all their attention to the Father and ignored Jesus, who was right there with them. I mean, sure, they could have gotten help from the Father, but the one that he sent to be with them, to interact with them, to be their paraclete, was right in front of them. And if nothing else, it would have been profoundly rude to ignore him. Well, that's largely what the body of Christ has done with the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't take account of a suffered wrong. He's not weeping in a corner thinking, they don't love me. But at the same time, we hurt ourselves and we hurt our growth and we create our own senses of aloneness and isolation when we don't acknowledge the one who is sent to be with us always. So spending time with that, I know, will be beneficial for your walk. So please continue to do that. Were there any other questions concerning the ones that we've covered or something else that might be in your mind before we close?
Mm-hmm.
You still had one or no?
No. I'm going to spend some more time with my family on that one.
Good.
And
excellent.
Then if we have something...
Just bring it up on Sunday.
On Sunday. Yeah.
That's fine. Absolutely. Very good. I like it. Terry, you look like you had something? No. Okay. All right. So I think this... Yes, please.
When you were saying that to ignore... just talk to the Father, ignore Jesus. And Jesus died so that the Holy Spirit could come.
Yeah.
And if we continually, and I'm not saying within this culture, but a quote, Christian continually ignores or doesn't even acknowledge the Holy Spirit, which I guess there are some places where people don't really say that much about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's as though saying Jesus really didn't do anything except live, die, and get resurrected, and that was it.
And that's largely what Christians believe.
Yeah, and that's so sad.
It is sad, yeah. Because, that's what creates the mechanics of religion rather than what we always say. It's not religion, it's relationship. But then we get rid of the relationship and live it like it's a religion. You know, he didn't die just to make Christianity possible. Now go and do your best with what I gave you. But, you know, like you're insinuating, he sent the Holy Spirit as our helper to facilitate the change, that we might never be alone, that we might moment by moment have a very real member of the Godhead literally with us 24 hours a day. Not just in the omnipresence of God, but literally the Holy Spirit is, if you can say physically, He is here.
Well, my early walk, it was just Jesus and God.
Yeah.
I was sort of afraid of the Holy Spirit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I was just like, ooh, that sounds eerie.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
yeah.
And it took the Holy Spirit to work with me and to get me to grow to where it was no longer, you know,
yeah.
Thoughts were no longer there.
I want to touch something on Doris, and I'm sorry if I'm raining on your parade, but when we were discussing that, one of the things she had to say about the Holy Spirit was it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that you say, well, not funny, but it's interesting that you say eerie, because she was thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit could be scary.
It's because of his
points. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think about a kid and you get, but, you know, like I said, it was the Holy Ghost around my house.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it really more scary.
Yeah. It's word ghost instead of spirit. Yeah. So, there's all kinds of. Yeah. There's all kinds of baggage we bring into this. But, you know, again, I know enough about the way the enemy works. He deliberately sets us up for failure. And so if there's any part of the Godhead that's going to be obscured from human view, it's going to be the one that he knows is going to let us the greatest benefit. And if there's any part of the Godhead who is the least understood in all of humanity, it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the least understood. Even in Christian circles, the least understood. You got people that are so far off on the left that think the Holy Spirit would tell them to do things that you just can't even imagine. And other people that are like, you know, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit's there. He's the one that made salvation possible. And yeah, if you feel a prick of conviction, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's pretty much the only job he has. Otherwise, he just really is just kind of there. Those two extremes are exactly that. They're extremes. The Holy Spirit's in the middle there. And literally the ability to live moment by, I know without a question that every single Christian on this planet could live more aware of the Holy Spirit than we do. And in doing it would be infinitely more prepared, more well suited to live the Christian life than we currently are. Yes.
As we progress towards the end times, whether we're in or not, is the presence of the Holy Spirit going to increase in us, or is it...
Our awareness of Him will.
Our awareness. So it will.
He's not increasing, but our awareness of what's already always been there will increase.
Which is a God thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Thing. I mean, literally, that's the reason why. I mean, without saying it specifically... It says it by analogy or by statement. By the end of the age, if the Spirit is thinking it, we're thinking it. If the Spirit of God is saying it, we're saying it. Which is why it says at the end, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Because the Bride says the same thing the Spirit says. And the Spirit says the same thing the Bride thinks. We're together. We're in union with one another. We're in agreement. And that's something He's... working through us even now. So yes, and I'm being careful. I'm not trying to be legalistic, but I'm trying to be careful in my wording of it. He's not going to increase, but our awareness of Him will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, may I have another question?
Sure.
At Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
when the Holy Spirit came upon those in the upper room,
yes.
Peter went out and started preaching.
Yeah.
God, the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
bringing back what Jesus had taught.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
should we be like that? Or
at times, yes. Yeah. When the situation calls for it, yes.
Will it be more?
I'm sorry?
Will it be more?
Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit would love to talk more than we let Him.
He wants us to grow up with Him.
more than we are.
Yeah. Again, as we mature in the Holy Spirit, mature in our walk with the Lord, and therefore in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we'll be more aware of what's the thoughts and the feelings of his heart. Because that's what koinonia is. It's a shared experience. And so you can have the Holy Spirit with you from the moment you're born again and experience very little of what's going on in his heart. Because again, even Jesus gave us an illustration. Again, it's not a side-by-side complete comparison, but it is comparable. And that is Jesus, you know, said that he did not reveal himself to all men because he knew their hearts. You don't cast your pearls before swine. You don't divulge the deepest things in your heart to a stranger. And the Holy Spirit is not going to overwhelm you. He's not going to come in and say, blah, this is all that I'm thinking. You'd be wiped out in a moment. But as we open ourselves up to not just being ministered to, but loving him and wanting to be a conduit through which he flows, he will begin to express his heart to and through us. And as that happens, we're going to be aware of ministry opportunities we would have walked right by before and not even known the Holy Spirit was interested. And now you couldn't miss it if you tried because you're so aware. And that's the way it is. And it's just like any relationship. You have a relationship with a person. Like, you know, when Terry and I were just friends or dating, there's a lot of things I might have done that later on, after I got to know her and know her heart, that I would not do now because of the fact that I understand things about her that would curb maybe not what I say, but the way I say it, or not necessarily what I would do, but when I would do it, or whatever. Those kind of things that you pick up on, that you learn from that person, that you're sensitive to now, that it's not that you were insensitive, it's just that the nature of the relationship hadn't developed in such a way that you would have been privy to that information. But as you grow with the Holy Spirit, there are things he'll confide in you that he didn't tell you before. And a great example, thank you, Lord, or thank you, Spirit, right there in John chapter 16, when we were talking a couple of Sundays ago, he said, there are many things I would long to tell you, but I can't tell you them now. He said, but you know, there's a day coming when the Holy Spirit will be able to reveal it to you. So what was he saying? He's saying, there are things in my heart I'd love to share with you, but I can't. You're not there yet. But at the same time, there were things he had longed to tell them before that he was telling them right then. Like he said, you know, he said, the day's coming when they're going to persecute you and people are going to think that they're doing God a favor if they kill you. He said, and this has been true for a long time, but I'm only telling you this now because I'm about to leave. I didn't tell this to you before because I was with you. You see what I'm saying? There was gradations and growth in their relationship and things he, koinonia, shared with them that had been true for the whole 3 years he'd been with them. But he wasn't free to share it with them yet. And that day he was. So yes, our experience with him will be increased. And eventually, before the return of the Lord, by and large, that's one of the reasons why, our heart is going to become... It's going to be a big Geiger counter of the Lord's return. We are not going to know the day or the hour because not even the Spirit of God knows. But he's close with the Father. And he can sense when the Father's heart is beginning to get stirred about something. He may not know specifically what's going on, but he knows, yeah, it's getting close. And if the Holy Spirit knows it, you'll begin to know it because it's shared experience. Does that make sense? And the closer that day comes, we're going to find ourselves, Spirit and the Bride are going to say, even Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen? Yes. Oh, I thought you had another thing you were going to say. So, all right. Yes, uh-huh.
She asked a question of me. We were talking a while ago, but not today. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure I got it right. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be operative after the rapture, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. Now, as far as in what capacity, I don't know. I don't know if the Holy Spirit will come upon people like he does now, but the Holy Spirit will be present for people to get born again for the work of conviction. Otherwise, no heart would turn. So, yes, for a fact, without any question, the Holy Spirit's ministry on some capacity will still be here. But there are things he will not be doing. Like right now, the Holy Spirit is the thing who together, the one who together with the church is holding back the full expression of the wicked one, which will happen during the great tribulation. But it says, you know, but when that which is withholding or restraining is removed, then he'll come into full bloom. And what's one of the things that's restraining is the work of grace in the church right now. But once the church has been removed, then the wicked one will be revealed. But what's keeping him from being able to be revealed is the pervasive presence of the Spirit of God working within the church. It's keeping it, it's making it impossible for the child, for the devil to go any further than he I'll tell you what, if the devil could, he'd express himself fully right now, but he can't. He's held back. Something is restraining him. By the way, that's what, more than you realize, that is what's behind political agendas that are against Christians. The enemy is angry. He's wreathing in anguish and anger because he'd like to express himself, but he can't because the light is here. And he's bucking against the light, and he hates the light. And when that which is restraining is removed, then the darkness will have its day. And the Bible says that there has never and never will there ever be darkness like that time. So again, that right there shows the powerful relationship the Holy Spirit has with the church. Because even in our sleepy state, that relationship we have with him is holding back the free expression of the devil. So can you imagine what it's going to be like as the child of God, as the church at large begins to respond more and more clearly and accurately to that relationship? It's going to get, for the church, it's going to get brighter and brighter, and the darkness is going to get darker and darker.